Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the August 29 edition of Commodity Week. Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. From Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois, Bill Mayer. And Merrill Crowley. He is with Midwest Market Solutions out of Watseka, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Wayne Nelson, I want to start with you. We've had a couple of weeks to absorb the USDA acreage and yield numbers from the month of August, their first crop production figure. There continues to be a flow of information that comes out of NAS to support their acreage figures, though I'm not sure that all farmers believe that 90 million acres is right. Though NAS says, look, we got the numbers and they're correct. And it's pretty clear that mostly they don't believe that that ball is going to be moving. So this is about yield. You've had some time to talk for farmers while you've been out here at the Farm Progress Show and on the phone. What are they telling you they see in their fields?
They don't know. They are sitting here saying, depending on where you're going, what you're doing as you go out and look in the field, you can pick one ear that looks like it's going to be 240 bushel corn. You go down, you pick an ear off the next stalk three down, and it looks like 97 bushel corn. The corn didn't come up, it didn't pollinate the same. The fields look beautiful all the way over here today. We went to Ohio. I mean, in late spring, when it should have been good, there was 70% of it that wasn't planted. Now it's up, it's green, it's looking good. We don't know what it's going to make. NAS, their numbers are probably right with all of their variations, as including corn for silage that was planted on prevent plant acres and everything like that. So we're not questioning that number. We just wish they would separate that out to tell us what's planted for grain and what isn't. And it's very disturbing to us that they didn't shrink the for harvest number more with the lateness of the planting, and that they were calling in for that 90 million was the corn planted on prevent plant ground and still only taking 8 million out, not harvested for grain. So that's the number that's really upsetting the farmers and making them feel like they're trying to throw in the 10 million acres of prevent plant corn and saying, we really weren't going to plant 100 million acres of corn. But there's another couple things that go into that that look at it. But as far as everything's looking is the Pro Farmer Tour, they said less. The biggest thing we have is this crop is so mature, when's it going to freeze?
Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture, NAS, tried to send out a clarifying statement on this particular issue, on the acreage, and they clarify it this way. There are two sets of numbers that NAS will work with, their own number and the numbers that come from FSA. And so the answer to the first question is, does NAS count prevent plant acres with a cover crop of corn as a corn acre? The answer is yes. However,
okay, so from this point forward, I got the accounting on this one slightly wrong. I went back and read through the release that came from the Office of the Chief Economist at USDA this week. And here's what it says. Between August 1st and August 22nd of this year, roughly 2 million acres of cover crops were added to FSA reported acreage, increasing cover crop acreage from 2.7 million acres to 4.7 million acres. Although these acres are not identified by crop in the FSA recording, NAS identifies them by crop through farmer reported surveys and via satellite for determination of NAS planted acreage estimates. As cover crop acres, they are not harvested for grain and therefore are omitted from the NAS harvested acreage estimate. So the release this week clarifies that, yes, 90 million acres are there, roughly speaking, but that the harvested acreage can change, potentially, based on the number of prevent plant acres that are planted to a cover crop, which is corn, that NAS cannot identify through FSA numbers, because FSA doesn't define it that way. They define it as cereal or grasses, and could be corn or rye, but But NAST looks at it from a satellite and a survey perspective, says we know what's on that acre, and then omits it from the harvested acres.
So we have to work through some of that number. And I suppose the question really is, what does the harvested acreage number end up looking like, Kurt Kimmel?
Yeah, you can talk 90 million planted, 100 million planted, 200 million planted. I don't think it matters anymore. It's harvested acres. And I think in the interviews I've heard, Lance, with many of the radio people, left the door open to just the harvested acres. So that's coming down the road. In past history, those really weren't really figured in until we got into the January report. So we have a long ways to go. I'm sure they're going to try to be on top of it a lot earlier. But the thing now is yield, as Wayne hit on. And 2 weeks ago, we still had 8 million corn acres to be pollinated. And just this last week, 16 million acres of beans have not even put on pods yet. So this crop's still in a racing stage here to the finish. And I think it's going to be a very, very popular weather event, or weather guys going to be very popular here on their weather forecast as we move forward. Even though they count blisters, man, I don't know if it's just going to make it. We've never been in a situation like this where a large percentage of the crop went in so late. And they tried to compare it to past history, but I don't think there's that history to really really tell us what's going to happen. So it's going to be down to BB-sized beans and maybe real light test weight in corn.
Wayne, you and Bill, and I'll ask this question to Bill, both deal with crop insurance. And I don't know whether you will have sort of tried to figure this yet or not. But I think Gary, when I talked to him, Schnitke, yesterday, was telling me maybe a $5 or a $10 payment on RP, but that wasn't going to move very much, even if we had a frost. So you, and it's because you make the difference, because it's total income, so you make the difference up in higher cost or higher price for corn, right? So when I'm thinking about total income, have you started to figure what that looks like or what those crop insurance payments might be and how they work into income on the farm?
I think every person's situation is different, and I think that's one thing that we can control. We can talk about whether the NAST yield is right or wrong all day, but one thing that you can do as a producer is go out there, take some yield checks, try to figure out kind of where you think your yield are. Look at that compared to your crop insurance coverage that you have, and also we're starting to look at the ARC, possible ARC payment, you know, if we average such and such price. And I guess I look at it as a revenue put. So if your revenue put, maybe you look at your corn and you say, I've got 178 bushels of the acre is what I'd estimated at on the conservative side. I know I've got 85% coverage at the current price. My put's in the money. I've got, you know, as if the price continues to drop, I've got that coverage. Now, maybe in some cases like Champaign County might be a good example. Yields are big enough that the RP doesn't look like it's probably going to be paying off much. So if you think you got a little bit better yields, you need to be a little bit more aggressive. So I guess from a marketing standpoint, from a focus standpoint, I look at that as kind of the thing that you can do that you can actually have an impact on, rather than worrying about what the NAST yield is going to come out in October and in January. We don't really have any control over that. I guess I think it's probably going to be January before we actually get a good feel on what that number really is.
Merrill Crowley, let's talk a little bit about old crop corn at this point, because there is old crop. We know that left in the bin. And there's a difference between being left in the bin and being in storage. So let's talk about that which is in storage. I think many analysts have been saying, you know, basis is good. We don't really know what to do about the in charge. What decisions should producers make?
Normally, you get about a 75-cent rally in beans and a 36 rally in corn. Now, that rally usually only lasts about a month. So if you have old crop, this would be the time to really look at trying to price that out with the strong basis that you're seeing available. The carry in the market is not telling you that you should really be waiting on a better corn price. What it is telling you is they'll pay you storage, but if you need the money and you've got old crop to carry out, it looks like this next month would be a good time to price the old crop. Basis is strong. When I think about the basis and I look at what's going on, we don't have much sold. We got a lot of old crop held back. We got a lot of new crop that didn't get sold. That explains right now why the basis is strong. Another thought could be that as you bring corn in, you're going to bring in the first planted. That is going to be some of the better quality stuff. And they're also trying to get some of that old crop corn that's better quality stuff to ensure them that they have decent corn in case they need to blend with poor quality new crop corn. Once that corn starts coming in, once they start meeting their demands, that basis level could slip pretty quickly. So you got to be careful on, and I think within the next month, on old crop, you should be looking to move. New crop, to me, a lot of it is going to be decided on what time you have for the crop development. We are currently in the dough stage, comparing to 2009, which was a late year due to lack of sunshine, and 2013, which was a late planted crop, neither one near as late as this year, our dough stage is ahead, like 71% compared to like 70 and 69%. And the reason I bring up 2009 is that crop found a way to make a bumper crop. I'm not saying this year's a bumper crop, but if we have time, I think the crop's going to be larger than most are thinking at this point. An early frost, your test weight goes out, the quality of the corn goes down. But as far as the question concerning old crop corn and old crop beans, I would look for a pricing opportunity in the next month.
As we look at the old crop right now, the basis levels are very, very good. I think that if you wanted to price a basis or do a basis contract, move that corn or beans out right now, collect part of your money to pay some bills, I think that's a great idea. Because just like Merrill said, if we get through another month, we do whatever. In our area, we've got, at Cloverdale, they closed down. They are shutting down the ethanol plant. Linden is down for 1 to 2 months. So that's going to take 15 cents off our basis in that area. And right now, believe it or not, there's still an overbid for fall corn. I hope, you know, everybody's feeling they've got room in all their bins this year, so they're having to pay up a little bit. But I'm here to say I don't see any reason of not taking advantage of these good basis bids. Not saying maybe price, flat price it, or if you do, we can pop back in. You know, we're bouncing off the contract low in December corn, but we got within a quarter of a cent. It's as low as it's been all year. Yes, it can go through it. It can go on down. But down in this area is not a bad place to maybe look at buying a call or reowning some on the board. But the basis levels, hey, we're all going to need a little cash flow coming in here to get us through the fall. So if you've got old crop corn, old crop beans, take advantage of these basis levels because they're probably going to be better than they will in the next month.
Kurt Kimmel, did you see the press release from Poet and read that? Because he mentioned Cloverdale. That is an ethanol processing plant. It is going to close. Poet said, we're going to shut down 100 million bushels, not gallons, but 100 million bushels worth of ethanol production in the United States because ethanol just isn't making the kind of money that we can afford to keep these open. How concerned should producers be about that demand side of the corn ledger?
Well, very concerned because over the last, 10 years, ethanol has been the main driver in the corn market. Supply-demand balance sheet, it's over 5 billion bushels. It's a huge, huge part of that number there. But how do you grant ethanol waivers due to hardship to an oil company that makes $5 billion? That's the issue right there, and that's what's ignited some real bad taste out in the countryside on it. And this week, you know, Trump did tweet or somebody did release that they are working on some ethanol laws. We already have ethanol laws, but it might be in the RIN part of the equation there. But we got to figure this out because we don't want to take a step backwards and lose this. And not only here in the U.S., but also, too, in China, even though we hate talking about China all the time, they have made a commitment or look forward to a 10% blend, and they've started the process of building ethanol plants in their country, so we hope they follow through with that because they'll eventually need some corn to fuel those.
I guess I think on the ethanol, I think the USDA has taken some of that into consideration already. When you look at their projection on this last report for ethanol usage, it is still a octane enhancer, and I think it's about the most efficient economic one. So it looks like our gasoline usage is going to be pretty similar to the last couple of years. So I think the USDA probably has that pegged pretty close. Now, you know, as you go down the road, I think, it, you know, next year and looking at that, I think we may not have the export potential that we've had and that type of thing when we've kind of, we saw some of that happening the last couple of years. But there's kind of a minimum level there, I think, that the ethanol blend is going to come out to. Just going back to the corn, the old corn conversation, just a couple of points I wanted to make, and not that I disagree, Merrill, with anything that you said, but a couple of questions, I think, considerations that I think that we have to think about as far as basis goes going into this fall. One is, how long did it take us to plant our corn this year? It was probably over about a two-month period. I think the harvest will be spread out longer than what it was. Now, you're correct, in 2009, we had a lot of drying to do, and we had elevators weren't prepared to do the drying, and there were backups, and, you know, guys, I remember guys in Western Illinois, I had paying $1 a bushel in drying charges that year. The other point I think that's important is we've built a bunch of storage in the United States, and especially in the Midwest since 2009. There's been a lot of farm storage added since then. So I think those two things could help the basis stay a little bit firmer maybe than what you typically think at harvest time.
So let's go through. Merrill, well, go ahead, Merrill. Looks like you're ready.
Good point.
Good point. Good enough. Merrill, I want you to go back through, because you already did this, but I want to come back this way and reiterate what your thoughts are on new crop corn sales and when those opportunities will come.
Well, new crop corn sales, I think Pete did a really good job of explaining, it's an individual thing. You know, you got to look at your situation, how it's going to come out, and look how you're going to handle it. The basis is strong. That suggests to me that if you have that stronger basis, you just go ahead and price grain and buy calls to replace it, because that way you have a large amount of your income to work with and pay bills. The, you know, right now the price of the March calls is very low, and you know, volume is low, and I'm sure if this market rallies 30 cents, that's going to pick up. But right now that looks like to me the way to initially attack this, with the caveat that we just don't know when that frost is going to come. And if that frost cuts the growing season off, then you're looking at a different ball game. That's why I think if you're going to price corn, if you have a good yield, you need the money, you make sure you get some re-ownership.
So you're use a basis contract at this point and have re-ownership. Bill?
I agree. It totally depends on your situation, as I said before. I think that, as Wayne had said, we put in some lows here, I believe, short-term lows at least. I think as we go through the next 30 to 45 days, we've got the September 12th report. We have the stocks report on the 30th of September. I kind of wonder about that. I guess that's the one thing I can't figure out is why basis is still as strong as it is. especially in central Illinois, and I found that clients that ask for a little push on basis levels, they're more than willing to give it, the buyers seem to be. So I guess I'm patient. Depending on where you're at, I think you have to at least have, like if you're at 15%, if you're at 85% RP coverage, you should probably be aggressive on getting that 15% sold if you haven't sold that yet. But then I think you can be a little bit patient and see where you're at. I think we have a chance to rally that December corn up into the 390 area. If you do that, I think you probably need to be looking at getting yourself in shape for the harvest at that point.
Well, we're still working on the KISS theory, keep it simple. So I think you got to have some staying power. Whether you're bearish or bullish, you got to have some staying power because these markets have been quite volatile. There's nothing worse than getting spooked out of a trade on a couple margin calls. All of a sudden, that rascal works. At these price levels, if you're worried about downside, I'd say probably a put option or price floor because you, like everybody else, they don't know what type of bushels they're going to have to market through here. For those that's well-heeled, I think you just kind of stay tight through here and see if we have some recovery going into this winter. But it's, like these guys say, it's individual to individual. There's no real holy grail. It's just a matter of figuring out what's best for your own operation. I know guys that's got all last year's crop and zero sold for this year. Then there's guys that's just been selling left and right because they're on a schedule. They have to keep the banker happy. And they've got a lot of cash replacement. Option volatility has come down on this down move. So if you're looking at wanting to have some ownership on paper, now's the time to look at some of these March options. That gets you clear into the January report.
Everybody has said really good things. I like what Kurt said, what Merrill, everybody said something good. I'd like to just throw something else out there. We've all sort of said we were disgusted with NAS. So are the insurance companies. They're going to go to RMA's numbers to pay their area policies this year, the ones out there. We generally use NAS numbers to figure the yields and that for whether a GRIP policy or now they call it ARP, area like that. So they also, the insurance companies, they use actuarials. You lose 1% of your coverage every day that you go past the late planning date. Those are actuarials. They've been figured year after year after year. They maybe haven't figured in the new hybrids quite as much as they should be. A lot of this crop was planted that should have 10% less yield right off the bat by that actuarial table. Some of it 15 or 20% more for what date they were in there. So that is something we have to really consider. Those are figures, I mean, like I say, that's like life insurance. Life insurance companies aren't in business because actuarial tables don't work. And I think that that's one of the things we're looking at. I am of the opinion, and I said it this morning at 10 o'clock, I am not in a hurry to sell right now because I think we're near a low for now. I loved what Merrill said about a rally of so much, you know, taking us back up to the little levels, you know, about 30 cents higher in the corn and up some close to $9 in the beans. And I probably would be selling or moving some at that point in time. But otherwise, I think that we are close enough to the bottom. I want to see if the actuarial tables are right because I think the yields are going to come in lower. I think the harvested acres are going to come in lower.
What do we think about new crop soybeans and the balance sheet that we're working with this point, Bill?
I think we have plenty of beans, even if we see the yields down, and I think we will see the yields come down some more, but we're still going to end up, I believe, somewhere in that 500 to 600 million carryout number, which is way more than we need, but it's still different. I don't think we're trading that yet from the trade standpoint. So I think we have a chance to get some pops in the bean market, to get some runs up in that November beans to that $9 area or so. And if we do that, I think I certainly need to take advantage of that. And just there again, depending on where you're at, as far as your previous sales, in our case, we were pretty aggressive real early, and I guess I feel comfortable just waiting on the balance, first of all, to see what the crop. You can't go out and take those yield checks on beans. You have to actually get out there and harvest it. I found that over the years. So One other point, Todd, that Wayne brought up, that they are making some changes on some of these area products. The margin protection product that's out there now, it's a fall product for 2020 now we're talking. 220 Dease corn is at 405. Is that a good price? I don't know. It's the best price we've had for 5 years in the other products. So there's some changes, though. They've actually lowered some of the rates. They brought the yields up higher in the county. It's probably something a farmer needs to look at. It's not the time of the year you want to look at insurance. I understand that. But it may be a good tool to help get your loan officer feeling more comfortable about where you're at as far as the 20 crop.
Any questions from the folks here at Farm Progress Show? If you've got one, just hold your hand up. I'll give you the mic. African swine fever, China in general, because we've got a trade war, we've got demand problems with them in all kinds of spaces.
Yeah, when you look at all the news, China's not going to buy one more bean from us, so that's priced in. So what else could be bearish? My greatest fear, and I wake up in the middle of the night, African swine fever, not in the U.S., but suppose Mexico. I mean, that would just be the kiss of death to the whole thing. So there is still some downside risk. Bean-wise, they keep hanging in there. They're like the Energizer Bunny on TV. They just keep moving. But the thing is, with the late crop, I'd be patient. I think we have upside targets like Bill, $9. What can happen to the bean market to make it go higher? China's buying all their beans from the southern hemisphere. Suppose they don't get the beans in time. Suppose they have some production problems in the southern hemisphere. They'll have to come back to the U.S. or another country will have to come to the U.S. to secure those beans. So you got to watch the southern hemisphere this fall, see if they get in a timely fashion in their growing season.
I agree with Kurt. There's a lot of things going on there, but the biggest thing we have is now the Japan deal, that we can maybe sell them a lot of pork and beef, and that can help with soybean consumption or meal consumption if we can feed the livestock and do that. Mexico's very big along the way, and along the way, the bad part out there is looking ahead. We're having all these fires in Brazil, and everybody wants to send help to put them out, and the farmers down there don't want to because it helps them expand their ground and acres for next year. So that's one of the things we're looking at. But when you look at where Brazil is priced in the world, except for China, most of the guys can still come to us because we are cheaper on beans because the rest of them don't have the same tariffs to look at. But all in all, I think that getting up close to $9 again with the carryout we're looking at, it's going to be a place to nibble at and sell a few. But I don't think you sell them here. I think you wait and see. A lot of these beans are very short, very green, very late. And double crop beans generally don't make 60 or 70 bushel.
Okay, across the board, what do I sell across the scale, and how do I do it, if I replace it or just sell it, or whatever that is the case, to pay some bills? What do I do about the bills that are due by the end of the year as well? Just trying to, because I'll need cash flow, so how do I tackle that under these circumstances where I really don't want to make sales probably, although cash, you know, my basis isn't horrible at this point. Kurt?
Well, typical producer will fill the bins on farm first. So it depends where you're at and what farm and what the situation is. But if you got some positive basis, I think you need to look at that and replace it on paper. And it's got to be a covered position. You got to have some staying power. And how you can do that is a call option. You can buy the board and buy a put to kind of hedge that position. There's tons of strategies, and Wayne, Bill, and Merrill, I'll sit down with guys and map those out. But as I've been saying a long time, you got to have some staying power and ride this thing through. The gate, it's not over yet, guys. There's still a lot of market in front of us. There's a lot of moving parts in through here. But I think you got to make sure you keep the banker happy and keep your better half happy, too.
I liked it better when corn was at 450 cash price. Any thought that I'll see that again? Can frost get us there? Or is that just a hope and a dream?
The market's looking for some news in through here. Of course, the next news will be some type of low-yield harvest activity or a frost freeze. there's tons of money on the sidelines. The funds are short now. They're short, what, 50-some thousand corn? They've been short beans all along and through here. There's some catalyst to tell them to buy. And if those analog programs, those computers read frost, freeze, you bet they'd run for it for a while. And that would run the market up. Now you run into the issue, will it stay higher or not? So you got to take advantage of it.
I think that's a very good point. At least my experience over the years with freeze scares is that the scare is what drives the market up, and then once it's over, then everybody says, well, it didn't, you know, it wasn't really that bad. Now, with the exception of, you know, like 1974, which was a real hard freeze twice in a row, I think you tell the rumor, I guess.
Let's get a final word from each of you. I think Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, I'll start with you today.
Well, it's been a pleasure to be here at the Farm Progress Show. It's lovely to see all you people coming out to see us and continue to support WILL as we go along here. So is what we're looking at here, we've told you, we don't know. If the frost comes early, it's going to be a disaster. I can remember 1974 and 40% moisture, 40 test weight, and 40% damage. That's not what we want. We sure don't need that. Get some rallies, get a little bit priced, stay in there and hang in there. Kurt is 110% right. Don't put yourself, by re-owning this crop, in a situation of having to make margin call after margin call if you're wrong for a month or two at a time. That's the worst thing that can happen, is you get blown out just before it rallies.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
Great day today. A lot of good conversation. I love everybody's enthusiasm, even though we're getting the crap knocked out of us on price. But, hey, a lot of you guys have been through this before. I went through it in the 80s, man. It was brutal, and unfortunately lost a lot of guys back then. We're going to lose some here this year. Once again, stay flexible. There's a lot of time left.
It is the year of the nine. Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Even though I had talked about the 20-cent rally in corn, I think that's possible. I think we don't really find out about the fundamentals, and nothing really changes much until January, the January crop report. I think that's the way you've got to make your plans, is that we do have the possibility of getting a pop or some kind of a bounce in the bean and the corn market. What am I going to do to take advantage of that? And the reality is, these guys that want to buy the market have been their head chopped off about two or three times this year. It's really going to be hard to get them back in the market now. So I think you have to evaluate your situation, make your plans based on that. And as Kurt said, don't get into a situation where, you know, I got to make a decision today, even though I don't want to make the decision.
And finally, Merrill Crowley with Midwest Market Solutions.
I want to thank everybody for coming out here. Appreciate it. I'm going to give you some guidelines here. I like to watch 10% for stocks to use. Usually when you get below, down to 10 or start getting below, the market prices really start to move. To get down to 10% stocks to use in corn, you're going to have to lose 768 million bushels or roughly 9.36 bushel per acre. Now that's no change in acres, so this could vary. So remember, 768. On the beans, you're going to have to lose about 353 million or 4.65 bushel per acre from the current USDA figure. Now that figure is currently down 6% already with the USDA report, so that's another drop of almost 10%. With the corn, our corn price is down roughly 3.9% below last year's yield, and the total, or the extra we would have to drop, is 5.5. That won't quite get you to the 10% that Wayne was taking out. And thanks for coming.
Hey, give these guys a great big round of applause. Yeah, give them a big round of applause. We appreciate all the work they do. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online, willag.org. You can listen to the whole of our program there anytime you'd like. Again, the address, willag.org. Our panelists this week included Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois,
From Watsika, Illinois, and Midwest Markets Solutions, Merrill Crowley and Dwayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.